It's so good to have Bill with us again today. Bill, we just thank you for what you have brought over these past days. And we're just looking forward to this final time of this trip. of what you've got to share. So wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. As I would walk up here, of course, back then, I was want to mess around a little. There it is. Yeah, let's don't put that up yet. Let's surprise everybody. I didn't realize how long that was up, but if you just saw that, you're really wondering. Yeah. What? Okay. He was okay for a couple of days, but blasphemy now. Let me just say before I pray and before I bring a message, time myself, 11:35. What an honor and a gift to me to be here. I've been trying to come back to England for quite a number of years, actually. I just absolutely love this and have not had an opportunity to come and minister here. So it's just been an honor. And I just thank you so much. You know, it's been incredible. I've had such a great time. Thank you for hosting me and ferrying me around and putting me in the church there in Hove, actually. I'm learning some of the English way. So this has been a blessing. I thank you, really. Okay. Well, Lord, once again, this would not be a good time to humble me as much as I might need it. So I ask that you would give me your word, that there would be an impartation this morning. There would be healing, yes, but there would be literally just falling more in love with you, that we would have an understanding of who you are, and most of all, who you are for us. I ask that your love would just penetrate your precious people today. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way. We bind up any spirit of fear, doubt, confusion, unbelief. We speak faith into the people of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many of you have not been with us the last couple of days? You don't really know. You haven't seen me. You don't know who I am. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw one, but is that the only one? The lady in purple? The two? Okay, two. Well, that's cool. I'm Bill. I'm from San Diego, California, and I have the privilege of ministering all over the world. So, and it's really nice that there's only two of you, so I don't have to do a lot of explanation, but I'm glad to be able to come and be in front of you. Okay. Let's kind of get to it. I'm going to quote a scripture. I'm going to quote it so many times that you're going to know it by heart. It's Romans 2:4. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. Some translations say it's his goodness. It's his goodness. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. Now, when in the Old Testament, when the word repentance is used, it usually means to turn away from sin. When Paul uses it here in Romans, it is about turning away from sin, but it literally means to change the way you think. That word in the Greek is metanoia. It's where we get our word metamorphosis, where the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. So it's about about changing the way you think about a heavenly Father. The reality is that many of us have an unbiblical view of God, which can be influenced by many different reasons. I think two of the most important or prevalent are bad teaching and a distorted view of God. So what we're talking about today is the tearing down of old flawed mindsets. Romans 2:4, it's his kindness, it's his goodness that leads us to repentance, to change the way we think. So I do want to show that picture now of the one that was up there on the...
Technical issue,
yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, what I'm going to show you, hopefully, or I can describe it, is a picture of a group of people. It's a group, but the picture focuses on three people: a man, a woman, and a young daughter. Actually, the man is the pastor of the church, and they are picketing a funeral of a soldier, a U.S. soldier, who had been killed in like the Iraq War, and he was a gay soldier. And so they are carrying signs, and the signs say things like, God hates you. Not blessed, just cursed. God is your enemy. Now, if the picture does get shown, something's wrong with that picture. I'm going to use some bad English here, bad grammar. Y'all already think we use bad English, but bad grammar. Okay, so now you can see the picture. Not blessed, just cursed. You're going to hell. God is your enemy. God hates you. Something's wrong with that picture, and it's even wronger when you know that they are pastors. They pastor a church. It's called Westboro Baptist Church. It's in the middle of our country, I think Kansas or somewhere like that. And the guy has actually since gone to be with the Lord. He's the man in the very back with the sunglasses. And interestingly, they picket everything. They're just against everything. And when he passed away, there were many Christians who went to the service to bless the people who had been picketing and condemning other Christians, to tell them, sorry for your loss. I thought that was quite interesting. They were picketing this gay soldier. That picture is just so wrong. That picture was on our national newspaper, USA Today, years ago. And it was on the front page, and it really caught my attention. Because the next day, there was another picture, and if you would show that one, it's a pie chart, which you're not going to be able to see very well. But the caption of the article was, How America Views God. And you can go ahead and take that down, because you can't really read the statistics, which I'm going to talk about. I think as I go around the world, the reality is that if you took that survey again in America, I think it would be about the same, if not worse. I think if you go into many other places around the world, the statistics would be about the same. And this is what it showed. 5% were atheists, so they don't have a good view of God to begin with. 28% saw him as an authoritative God. 21% saw him as a critical God. 24% saw him as a distant God. Only 22% saw him as benevolent, loving Father. That's a distorted view of our God. I think it comes from many different factors, but I think the leading factor is we tend to base our relationship with our Heavenly Father based on our relationship with our earthly father, authority figures, even mothers. But I know for me, that's how I came into the kingdom. And I've struggled with that. I've really had to work through that. So if you had a very strong, stern, authoritative kind of parent, you would tend to put that onto God. God's always mad. You never can measure up. If it was a critical parent, you'll never measure up to what God wants for you. If the parent was like a workaholic, never around, never there for your baseball games or your ballet lessons or whatever, he's a very distant God. He's way up there. He has nothing to do with your everyday life. Does that make sense to anybody? I had a very stern, hard father, and I never felt like I could measure up to him. I never felt like I could please him. I always felt like he was really waiting for me to mess up, and I transferred that on to my Heavenly Father, that he had nothing really to do with me on an everyday basis. And when things went well in my life, that was because of my abilities, my ability to do things. And if things went bad, I thought he was punishing me. I didn't understand about the rest of the fact that there is an enemy, that things do go wrong, that sometimes we mess up, but there is forgiveness, there's transformation, all those things. So I transferred that, even as I came into being a born-again, sold-out Christian who got launched into a healing ministry. So we have it, too often we have a distorted view of God. I see this a lot in people's comments. I see it in the newspaper quite often. So November 21st, 2014, in our local San Diego newspaper, there was an article about a man, and he had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. He was in the service, so even though his family lived there in San Diego, he was serving back in Oklahoma. But he was talking about the fact that his son, who was going to be a senior in high school that year, and who was playing football, what we call the real one, for the two of you who have not been here, I kid a lot about the fact that we call it football, and we know that it's really your sport and yours and the rest of the world's, and it's okay, but it is a ball and a foot. So we really don't. We are really wrong on that, but we are arrogant, so we can't help but believe that it's the real sport. But he said, I had big plans for this year. It's gonna be able to, because he was gonna be able to move back for those, you know, that year, and he was gonna watch his son play football, and he was gonna go surfing. We're on the ocean there, and so we're known for our good weather and known for surfing and things like that. And so what he wrote was, he said, I had big plans, going to watch my son, going to surf, etc. Well, then I got diagnosed with brain cancer, and that's just God's way of knocking you back down. Yeah. He said, basically, God gave me this. That was his distorted view of God. So sometime after that, just maybe a year and a half ago, I was teaching at Christ for the Nations down in Medellin, Colombia. And it's a great school, and it's just thriving and getting bigger every year. And we had like three different classes. Some were there during the day. Some were on, could only come at night, and some could only come on a Saturday. Well, the night class, as we were getting ready to start teaching, I noticed they led a young man in, and he had that stick because he was showing that he was blind. And so he comes in, and I talk a lot about, you know, God is a loving father, that he does not give us sickness or infirmities, that he gave us his son Jesus, that the will of the Father is to heal. And as I'm talking about healing, and I'm giving scripture, and I'm demonstrating healing, and I'm talking about it, he comes under conviction. And with one of my team members, when we go into minister time, he basically says, you know, I thought God gave me this blindness, that it would be able to show that even in the midst of this infirmity, that I could still be a good Christian and praise God. I thought God gave me this. And so he repented. He realized that he had a really distorted view of the Father, and so he repented over that. And then our team member began to pray. And as he prayed, he began to see light. And as he began to pray more, he began to see movement. Unfortunately, we had to go, and so we turned it over to the rest of the Colombians to be able to pray. And I'm firmly believing that God was going to restore that. Too often, we have that situation where we blame God, and he's a loving father. So maybe 2 years ago, I had a bout with some skin cancer. If you get too close to me, you know, you'll notice my nose a little discolored because they had to cut some stuff out, and then they had to bring the flap over and all that kind of stuff, and then the nerve endings and the blood vessels start to reattach, and so it gets a little red and everything, and I'm just, this is the way it is. And they cut out some more stuff. When they did the part of the nose, they had to cut out a lot, and then the next day another doctor had to fix everything. And so I had a lot of prayer, and I wrote on Facebook the surgery had gone well, etc. You know, and I was actually still under drugs. But it had gone well, and thank you for praying for me, and, you know, everything's going to be okay, etc. Well, then as I started to come out from under the drugs, and my wife, Carol, talked to me, she said, actually, it was a little more complicated than what everybody expected. It was more cut out than the doctor who was going to repair it. And he had to do some things. He had to move some flap and everything. And the reality was that in moving the flap and the skin and everything, it caused my nose to move up so that you saw way more nostril than anyone would have liked. And I like to be very honest, and I mean, I just want to be real. So I had written this kind of article like, hey, everything's okay, don't worry about it, et cetera, I'm okay. So I said, I would be remiss if I didn't post after having posted such a positive report. It turns out that the scraping on the nose to get it all done was more than expected. And when the doc got in to fix the nose, he didn't have enough flap, and it's going to take quite a while to look right, and perhaps more surgery. And I didn't have to do that. And because of that, my nose tip turns up, showing more nostril than anyone would like. Can't tell how much the swelling is affecting the look, so that's the prayer point that the nose would heal supernaturally, quickly, and would return to looking normal. I literally look like a pig. I mean, I just got to be honest with you. That was really hard for me. I have probably, I don't know, maybe 2,500 people on Facebook between my ministry, Dunamis, and my personal. And obviously, I don't know all these people. Some people follow me because I'm a Christian speaker, etc. And there are some who have a distorted view of God. So I got a post to that post that I did from a friend who is no longer a friend. I don't need those kind of comments. But this is what he said. Not going to happen. Fake healings are one thing. Now you have to deal with the real things that the Lord puts in front of us. Pray for the forgiveness of your sins. So he automatically went to the fact that I have a problem, I must be in sin. No matter what ailment the Lord allows to humble us for his glory, he is in it. Repent. That's not a friend. And so he became not a friend. But it's interesting that too often that's where the world goes. And that's where even some Christians go. Most people who follow me on Facebook are Christians. I mean, I don't have heathens, frankly. Why would they follow me? Because I talk about God all the time. But that's where his mindset was. That was his distorted mindset that, because I have cancer, because I have a problem with the surgery, I must be in sin. At least he didn't go to the fact that I don't have enough faith. We hear that way too often. Well, when you get enough faith, then you'll get healed. Yes, lack of faith and sin in your life can block healing. But we tell people when we talk about prayer ministry, don't tell somebody that. I mean, it may be true. But don't tell them that. You haven't helped them. You've brought condemnation on them. What we want to do is show them the love of Jesus. So I moved on from that. I didn't let it faze me. What I really kind of stepped back into is I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. He's gooder. That's that bad grammar again. He's gooder than we think, so we need to change the way we think. Amen. So I do a lot of teaching like I did this weekend, prayer ministry and such. So several years ago, I was in a town, it's called Bakersfield, California. Not that you would know anything about that, but teaching over the weekend, you know, Friday night, then Saturday, and then Sunday morning. And then Sunday night was going to be a healing service. We're going to put into action everything we've taught. And we've got the prayer team that we've trained, and I finish the message, and I bring them up, and, you know, if you need prayer, come on forward. They're going to pray for you, et cetera, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I feel this little tug on my trousers, and that was back in the days when I was really uptight, and I couldn't wear jeans in a meeting, and I had Dockers on, Levi Dockers, and so they tugging on my trousers. And I look down, and there's about a 5-6-year-old little Hispanic girl with big brown eyes, and she looks up to me and says, can you come pray for my mommy? She's going blind in one eye. Well, sure, I can do that. So I go down, and I meet Dolores. And Dolores, you know, you can tell when some people have had some really hard lives. They've had disappointments. Life's been hard on them, and they're kind of molded that way, and they just had a hard life. Well, she's got that exterior. Is it, you know, somebody forgot to tell her face to smile and enjoy life. So I meet Dolores, and so when I pray for somebody, I like to know, what am I dealing with? Okay, so give me an idea of how bad your sight is that this eye is going blind. So cover up your good eye and tell me what you can see. Now, the church was long, like unlike your church, we're like kind of short this way, but longer this way. It was long like that, so there was quite some difference, a distance. And so she says, well, I can see the white-haired gentleman in the front row, and I can see the gentleman with the good-looking hairstyle in the second row, and I can see there's a guy with glasses, but I'm not real clear. And everything past that is pretty blurry, okay? Right? It gives me an idea of what I'm dealing with. So I begin to pray. Now, I really don't know very much about eyes. I just know that Jesus spit in the eyes and a lot of eyes were healed and he put mud in. I didn't do that. Okay. But I don't know how an eye works. I know there's a pupil and there's a cornea and there's an iris and there's probably some electrical systems, etc. But all I know is Holy Spirit come, the power of Jesus to heal, eyes see, everything come back into order, that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know how to do this. I just know how to call on him because I'm not the healer. You know, we've emphasized that over and over this weekend. So I pray for, I don't know, 2 minutes maybe, and I take my hand away because I want to check in. I want to know if anything's happening. So I said, okay, tell me, you know, what we've done here. Cover up your good eye and tell me what you can see. I can see the man with the white hair. I can see the man who's somewhat bald. I can see the guy in the blue shirt with the glasses. I can see the next guy who's kind of got a black. And there's a guy in the very rear there sitting, and he's got a black shirt on. I said, wow, you can see. And now, here again, further even than this distance, that's how far back the church is, and there's a bulletin board. And it's got pieces of paper on it announcing things, and some are red and yellow and green and blue, etc. You can't read the writing. I mean, obviously, it's really small. But she says, and I can see the bulletin board back there, and I can see the blue sheet. She had not been able to distinguish colors at all. I can see the blue sheet and the red sheet and the yellow sheet, and I you know, I can't read the words. They're just too small, but I can see that now. And I'm like, I mean, I can see it, but it's all blurry. Now, when I just told you that, I got a lot more excited than she did. She's basically saying, I can see the guy with the white hair. I can see the guy who's bald. I can see the guy, you know, I can see the bulletin board and there's red sheets and blue sheets. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you've just gotten healed. I'm excited. But her countenance had not changed in the slightest. So I just felt like the Lord was saying, you're not through. Dolores, could I pray a little bit more for you? Sure. So I began to pray. And it was like God took that chisel to that cold, hard heart. And little by little. Now, usually when you pray for somebody, you get some sort of a reaction. Maybe their hand shakes. Maybe they wobble a little. Maybe their eyelids flutter. It's an autonomic response to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they get flushed. Sometimes they really shake and all kinds of reactions. There was nothing. There was no reaction from her. It was like praying for this pulpit and just nothing. But as I began to pray, basically I was praying Romans 5:5, the love of God being poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit that is given to you. I'm just praying, oh God, show her your love. Show her who you are for her. Show her an incredible love that she is cherished and loved by a heavenly Father who loves her. Give her a revelation of the true Jesus. Well, as I'm praying that, she begins to wobble. And of course, I've got to catch her. You know, I believe in that. We did some prayer training the other night. And she begins to wobble, and pretty soon she goes down into the arms of the catcher. Now she's down on the floor. And many times when people fall into the power of the Spirit, it doesn't mean anything's truly happened. So you go down with them, and maybe you continue praying. So I go down, and I said, you know, Dolores, I just feel like I've done all I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to stop praying for you. You're real safe right here. Don't be in a hurry to get up. We've got a prayer cloth we put over you, and there's nobody around you. You're safe. You're good. Just let the Lord soak you with His love, and don't be in a hurry to get up. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. She'll be just right up. I mean, I'd seen that countenance, even though there was a little bit of a change. And so I go off to minister to some other people, about another 30 minutes or so. And by then, you know, the room is starting to clear out a little bit, and the prayer team is kind of finished praying. And so I'm finishing up over here, and I kind of turn right as Dolores is getting up off the floor. Hey, Dolores, how you doing? Good. She was drunk in the Holy Spirit. She had gone the 18 inches from here, knowing about God, to knowing God. Absolutely, totally changed. I went back to that church 8 months later. Because you really need, you know, to know the rest of the story. I wish I could tell you that she had been totally healed and the eye had been restored. And it hadn't. She did go blind in that eye. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I don't know. But when I went back to that church 8 months later, she met me at the door. Biggest smile you've seen. She knew the love of Father. And she could rejoice no matter what. He's gooder than we think. So we need to change the way we think. It's His kindness. It's His repentance. It's His kindness, it's His goodness that leads to repentance. So, if you would, show that next picture. There it is. Wow, that was good. Has that been up there the whole time? Wow, I must be really zoned in on my message here because I don't even know what's going on behind me. Okay, we went into a church in Seattle, Washington, and lots of stuff happened, et cetera, and at one point we have people stand up who've got problems in their shoulder. And so we see a lot of healing, and I take testimonies. And actually, my wife Carol, after this picture was taken, goes over and talks more to this gentleman. He said, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know God. And I didn't think He would do anything for me. Well, the reason he was there is because his wife dragged him there. Oh, thank you, Lord, for praying wives, grandmothers, etc. And every once in a while, even the husband who prays and gets the wife there. But that's why he was there. He said, I've had rotator cuff surgery, and they told me I'll never be able to raise my arm again. As I was standing there and you were praying over the group that was standing, all of a sudden my arms just started going up, and I'm thinking, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I love it when they say that, and then I am able to say, but you are doing it. But I didn't even know that was happening. His arms just went up, tears streaming down his cheeks as he's telling us, I don't know why I'm here. I didn't think God would do anything for me. Totally healed. I went back to that church a year later, and after the service, there's this couple coming toward me, and he's beaming. Both of them actually are. And it's kind of like, hi, you remember me? I go a lot of places. I meet a lot of people. I don't have a great memory to begin with. I have a memory of certain things, but not faces and people. I have more of a memory of faces than I do names and such. But, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't. It's this guy. And now what was really weird is, and it's hard to see here, but if you look on my iPad, the picture is very clear. And frankly, he looks like an old man. He's coming toward me, and I'm thinking, there's no way you're the same guy. He looks so much younger. Now, here's a guy whose wife dragged him to church, who obviously is not a believer, So somewhere along the way, because I asked, you know, I saw his pastor a couple of months later. You know, do you know the woman? He said, oh, yeah, she's there all the time. I said, what about the guy? And he had told me there at the church, yeah, we never see him. He's not saved or anything like that. So 3 months later, I talked to the pastor, and I said, so whatever happened with that situation? Oh, the guy's there all the time. We can't get rid of him. So somewhere along the way, he did get saved. And now he's telling me, next week, we're taking a team with us to Chile, and we're going to do healing meetings and pray for healing. This is the guy who did not know God, who did not think God would do anything for him, who had a revelation gone from here to here. Well, I don't even know if it was in here. He didn't know God. He didn't think God would do anything for him. But now he's knowing the goodness, the kindness of a heavenly Father who will love him. I got time for one more, right? Yeah. Okay, we'll show the next picture. We went into this meeting. It was actually the morning meeting with pastors and leaders. Had about 85 pastors and leaders. And I walk in, I put my stuff down, and there's these two sisters sitting right here, right behind me. And, you know, we're going to worship a little bit, and then I'm going to have a message, and we're going to pray for the pastors and the leaders. And they're up. The worship is incredible, very much like what we've experienced over this weekend. I mean, the presence of God has been so strong. This worship was so, so good. And everybody is up, and they're worshiping, and just feeling the presence of God. And these two sisters are here, and I know that you've never seen this, and you it wouldn't happen in this church, but they're like this. Just bored out of their teeth. And I'm thinking, they're the daughters of some pastor. He's brought them to the meeting, you know, hoping maybe something would happen, whatever. And so after a little bit of talking, I feel like we're supposed to go into some healing. So I said, if you've got pain in your body, stand up. So the sister in the pink and black, she's the older sister, 21 years old. She stands up. She's got a severe headache. And so I kind of do what we've done this weekend. I kind of coach them through. So I have somebody come alongside. So the other sister is going to be praying for her. And I kind of coach everybody how to do that. You've seen that this weekend if you've been here. And so then I take testimonies. And the sister in pink gets healed. So then when I finish the message, I basically say, you know, if you would like more of the presence of God, come forward. So the sister in pink, she comes forward. I can tell God is on her. She's crying. She's kind of shaking a little bit. And she kind of, I mean, I can tell God's just all over her. God's going to do something big time. And she rests in the spirit and everything. And then and the other sister in black and white, she's still sitting back there. And I kind of motion to her, and she doesn't want to come. And so, okay, if you don't want to come, then we'll come to you. So I get my translator, and we go to her, and we find out that they are sisters. They are in the university. They're studying to be lawyers. And they don't go to that church. They don't know why they're there. They've never been there before. They don't know God. They're not saved. And then starts to realize, okay, your sister just prayed for you, and she's not saved. You're not saved, but you get healed. That'll kind of mess with your theology a little bit, but he's a loving Father. So we lead them to the Lord. And then we said, you know, we're going to be back at a certain church tonight, and we're going to be back at another place tomorrow morning, and then tomorrow night we'll be at another church, and then we're leaving. And we'd love to have you come. And she said, you know, we're in college, and we're studying to be lawyers, a lot of homework, there's no way we can come. They were there that night. They weren't supposed to be at the meeting. They were not pastors and leaders. They don't even know anybody, and they're not even related to anybody who's there. The next morning, we were doing another pastors and leaders meeting back at that church. They were there again. They were there where they're not supposed to be. When you get hungry, you don't care. You just press in. So they came the two nights to the different services. So we figured, you know, you've been saved now a day. You're not religiousized. You don't know that this is not for everybody. Nobody's told you that. And all you know is it's for you. So join us on the prayer team. So I've got a team of Americans, about eight Americans, so they join us. Every single person they prayed for got healed. They had a revelation of a Heavenly Father who loves them. And if you've been around me a little bit, you know, I've talked about there's no such thing as a coincidence. About 5 years later, which happened like just last year, I was in a restaurant, and because they lived in some small town called Pereira, and it's, I don't know, 100, 200 miles away from Medellin. And so I'm in a restaurant because I had taken this picture. And this woman comes up and taps me, a young woman, taps me on the shoulder, and she shows me on her phone this picture. And then she's pointing at her. It's the girl in pink and gray. She's now married. She had moved and she had a child. She's there. And so through sign language, you know, how are you doing? You're okay. She said, yes, you know. Yeah. What a coincidence. It was so encouraged me to let me know he's gooder than we think. So it helped me to continue changing the way I think. He's a loving Father. It's his kindness. It's his goodness that leads to repentance, changing the way we think about a Heavenly Father who loves us. He is for us, not against us. I really stand hard. I don't understand it all, but I really stand hard on the fact that Jesus does, that the Father does not give sickness or infirmity. He gave us his Son, Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. When the leper comes to Jesus, he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says back, I am willing. And as I said, the Spanish translation doesn't say willing. It says, I want to. And the Japanese translation doesn't say willing or want to. It says, it's my heart to. That's who he is. A loving Father who does not give sickness or infirmity. I don't understand it all. I just stand on that. Jesus is the lover of my soul. And we have a Heavenly Father who wants to interact with us on a daily basis. He's a loving Father. He's not like maybe some of the parents that we had. If you came from a good, loving family, God bless you. To be honest, it's rare. If you had authority figures in your life and they were just wonderful, God bless you. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes we have problems with the church because our pastors weren't as loving as maybe they should have been. I think you are so fortunate to be under these pastors. Yeah. He's a good, loving, Heavenly Father. He's gooder than we think. So change the way you think. Amen? Amen. That's my message. Wow. There's a miracle right there. Okay. I felt like I'm maybe supposed to do some things differently today. I showed the picture of the man with his arm up. He had had the rotator cuff problem. I just feel like maybe we need to go after that again. As if you've been with me now, you know I really go after this a lot. For me, it's payback because I had a problem with that back in 2013 as I was entering into 2014. Could not move my arm. No real explanation for it. But I really empathized with those who struggle with that. If you have a problem, particularly with your shoulder, the joint in here that causes a problem with your arm, would you just stand up? And let's see what we're dealing with. Okay, sorry about that. Now you have water down there. Yeah, if you've got a cloth or something, that would be good. Okay. So right in here, if you have that kind of pain or you have a problem or you have a lack of mobility, thank you. You can kind of see where it's right there. Yeah. Just stand up. Let me know. Right or left. All right. I'm just asking if I need to expand this a little bit. Okay, so I have... Are you standing up for that, or are you just standing up? You got it. Okay. So I've got four people, right? Okay. Tell me about your lack of mobility or your pain or whatever.
So it's on my shoulder, and I had a bicycle accident about 18 months ago. It's the rotator cuff that's been affected.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to check my doctor, and he thinks that is the case. And so I've had prayer for a few nights.
Right.
When you're at home, and each time it's just got a little bit better each time.
A little bit better. That's good. Yeah, you'll take everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what is your limitation? I don't want you to hurt yourself, but like, can you... Cause, so that's about it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody... now, did everybody take note of that? Because we're just going to see. I mean, that's how I really kind of judge how this thing works is, okay, I can do this without pain, but I can't go higher. So show that. Don't hurt yourself. So that's about the level. Everybody got that? Okay, this gentleman, shorter though. Tell me what's wrong, but short.
Get that
crunchy.
Inside the cups as you go.
Yeah. Yes, okay, so can you, do you have a limitation of what you can do?
I'm not sure on that one,
that's about there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's normally when I'm swimming, I used to swim.
Yeah. So that movement.
When I start swimming a bit, then I'll get the crunch.
Right, okay.
So
okay. Okay, and the gentleman here?
Mine is, it's like a really bad, like, burning sensation across my shoulder.
Okay, and what's
all the time, it's not
right.
Constant, it doesn't, but I could be doing certain things at work, reaching at a certain angle or something
yeah.
like that, and it will really, I won't be able to lift it any higher.
Okay, so what is the limitation, if any? I don't want you to hurt yourself.
I can't lift it up at all. It feels dead, like, I can't actually move it at all.
You can't move it?
With
Oh, sometimes, but not right now. How are you?
Yeah, no, I can move it.
Yeah, and are you in pain at all?
Not at the moment. No.
Not at the moment. So we're really not going to quite know what happens, but we want to pray. And Jasmine?
I am standing in proxy for a girl at my work who has had years-long issues with her shoulder.
Okay, so she's standing in proxy for somebody else who's had a problem, and does she have a limitation of movement? About to
generally, I've seen her not go any more than that.
Right.
She hurt her shoulder even more yesterday trying to be planting vineyards, and she'd gone to work and she couldn't even sweep the floor. She was just in excruciating.
Wow. Like, okay. All right. So I think what we're going to do is I felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to get involved. Me. I want you to get involved this time. And so I'm going to get involved, and you're going to get involved as well, too, some of you. All right? So first of all, just close your eyes and relax. Lord, we know that... What is the young lady's name?
Emily.
I can say that. Oh, good. Yeah. Just stretch your hands toward her as a sign of your standing in unity. Lord, we know there's nothing to time and space to you. So wherever Emily is right now at a little like 12:17 or so. Let her feel the power and the presence of God into her shoulder and from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. That, Lord, all the muscles, ligaments, and tendons would come into order. All the soreness would go. And where she overstrained herself perhaps yesterday, that there would now be a peace that would be upon her. Lord, we stand in the power of the testimony that we have seen where we have done this with someone standing in proxy, that there has been healing. We've done this over the radio shows, TV shows, mostly in foreign countries, but where people would get healed, where we prayed from a distance. So, Lord, we thank you for Jasmine, who's willing to stand in proxy for Emily. And we ask that your loving kindness, your goodness would come upon Emily right now and restore in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Okay, now come with me and Valerie and Helen. Yeah, okay. Helen, I want you on him just to pray. Okay, that it's is it both or is it more of that one? Right. And you, it's both of them, right? Okay, Valerie, right here. Okay, just stretch your hands toward them. I'm going to get many of you involved. The Holy Spirit, we speak to the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. I ask for your anointing on Helen and on Valerie and on Jasmine. Yeah, I know you're behind me. Go get him as well. Go get on him. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. More. I speak blessing to the muscles, ligaments, and tendons of the shoulder. And just very gently. Don't let me hurt you, but just kind of move. More, Lord, more. Just keep on, keep on. More, more. Lord, if there's any kind of calcium deposits, if there's anything that limits, we break the power of every afflicting spirit. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. Okay, if you not just there, but if you straighten up your arm, does that do anything? Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Don't hurt you. Hurt yourself and don't let me hurt you. Lord, we speak blessing on the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. Okay, just move it a little bit. Just kind of gently move. I mean, you can lower it even. Just move your arm even down, just so it moves a little bit. Okay. You got healed of this kind of stuff. Come lay hands right here. And so how is that? Is that a little different? A little better?
That's definitely better. Yeah.
It is. You can see that, can't you?
Yeah.
And to do this now, like, can you go straight up?
Well, I could go straight up before.
It's more of this.
Yeah.
So it hurts when you do this. Okay, don't do that. Just do that then. but now we want full movement. So this is better. I mean, I can see. Yeah. But see, he's had prayer. He was in Hove, actually. I'm kidding y'all a little bit. I just find that quaint that they, because she told me about it, that it's, some people say, yeah, like they don't want to be included in Brighton. So y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. I don't want to be associated with Brighton. It's Hove, actually. Yeah. Okay. So you've had prayer in the meetings we did down the road, and you've been getting better and better and better. See, too often we pray and we get minimal results, but keep on praying. So just more, Lord, more. Come here. Yeah, come on. Come on, Bethel. I never got your name, but we'll just call you Bethel. Yeah. Just keep praying there. And y'all keep pouring out for these. Holy Spirit, come. More, Lord. More, Lord. Okay, Doc, come on. Doctor, come on. Right here. Yeah. Okay, let me get back here. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Because you didn't really have any pain or lack of mobility, so we're not going to really know what happens until you give it a try. Is there a pool or a water around here? Can you go jump in the lake somewhere and give it a try?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we just say more, 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 more. You know, a lot of times arm problems are associated with neck problems. Nerve endings get touched, etc. If you have problem in your neck, pain, trouble moving your neck, whatever, would you stand up and make yourself known? Okay, right there. Okay, you have neck pain. Okay. Anybody else with neck? Okay. You've been receiving quite a bit of healing. Go pray for her if you would, please. And who else is standing for neck? The pastor. Yeah. You're standing too? Okay. So let me do this. Gentleman here in the like kind of bluish, purplish, whatever, go pray for the pastor if you would. And if I could have this gentleman, you've been here for these meetings.
Yeah.
Would you pray? Well, okay. You. So now you've moved from the pray-e to the prayer. All right. That's cool. Yeah, right there, please. Holy Spirit, come all over this room. I want him to test himself a little bit. Move his arms a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
There's someone else here standing up.
Okay. The gentleman or the lady? The gentleman. Okay. Oh, please. Please. Yeah. Okay, and if you would pray for her neck. What are you doing with this guy?
Nothing. I'm just trying to hold him up at the minute.
He's just a sponge and leave
him.
Mind
the toys. Yeah. See? Yeah. Okay. All right. If you have a headache. If you have a headache right now, would you just come right over here? So we're just going to turn this into a healing session, okay? Oh, he has a headache. You've moved him over here. Is that what you've done? Yes, okay. Anybody with a headache, okay? Oh, right here? Okay. You too, go pray for her. Yeah. Now you too, go pray for her. Anybody else with a headache that I'm missing? Or you have a headache? Okay, I thought they were saying that you wanted to pray. The lady in black way over here in the corner. Come on. Come on. Yes, you. Yeah. Por favor. Just pray for her headache. Yeah. Now, along the way, stop. If you've been praying for a couple of minutes, stop and check in with them and have them demonstrate if there's any improvement. Okay, now the gentleman right here. Okay, everybody look at him in the striped shirt here. So that looked even better. Is that even better? Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me do this. Bethel, let me have you off, and this gentleman right here. You testified you got healed of something. I didn't hear it all, but why don't you go pray for him now? Okay, so what's going on back there? Oh, is that him laughing? Okay, Bethel, go pray for the lady in the wheelchair. Let's just continue to soak her. Okay, I'm going to do this for one more minute, and then I'm going to ask everybody to stop praying. One more minute. Okay, everybody stop praying. Everybody stop praying. If you just got prayed for, would you stand up or because I want to see if there's something that's happening and you just kind of feel what's happening. Okay, but I want those who got prayed for, whatever you got prayed for, kind of move it, check your body, see how you're doing. Look at that. Now, come on. That's a lot better. That's a lot better camera. Here, hold that for me, please.
Do that one more time, getting out of the glare here. Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's huge. That's huge.
Okay. If you would check your body, if it was your neck, if it was a headache, if it was, I don't even remember what all I'm praying for. If there's improvement like there is here, I don't care if it's 1%, but if there's improvement, if you feel better, if you feel more peace, whatever, would you wave at me? Obviously, you feel a lot better. You feel better. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, feels better. The pastor feels better. Even the pastors can get healed. How are you doing? And I don't remember what we prayed for you. Is that headache? Moving around. The headache is, and you still have it?
Yeah, I live on parasite.
Okay, stand behind her, just in case. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I break off that afflicting spirit. I cancel that assignment right now. Headache, be gone, be gone, be gone right now, right now, right now, right now. And the peace of the Lord be upon you. Just put her down. It's okay. Yeah, just put her down. The peace of the Lord. The fact that it was moving, we talked about that this weekend. It could be an indication of an afflicting spirit. And that's okay. We just command it out. Okay. Was there anybody else that I didn't recognize? I don't know what we're praying for you over there, but tell me how you're doing.
I haven't felt any change yet. I wasn't in a lot of pain.
Yeah, okay.
I've got three broken discs that really need replacing. Praying for three new discs.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to know when something happens.
All right, okay. And obviously, she received the presence of the Lord, and that's all good. How are you doing back there? I don't remember what we're praying for. The neck? Was that, I don't remember what we're... Okay, I think I need translation. I didn't understand what you said.
A snake?
Right. And how are you now?
I feel much better.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Very good. And how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I have stiffness in my neck, she will tell you.
Wow. Boom.
I didn't realize it, but I had a bit of a problem with my right knee. Something to do with the tendon in there. My brother here said, I think there's something wrong with your right knee. I didn't know.
You didn't even say anything about it. Didn't even know it. You got a word of knowledge?
Yeah, he had a word of knowledge.
Yeah, just as I was looking at him, I just thought there's something with the knee. And so I prayed it. And...
Wow. Okay. How are you doing? Okay. Now, the world is looking for peace. The world is in such turmoil. That is not a little thing. Yeah, so we bless that. Hey, I just look at your smile. To me, you seem lighter, brighter just over the couple of days as it's progressed. Sometimes, you know, it's just soaking in the presence of the Lord that just gets you better and better. And how are you doing, this lady here? Because we kind of told that thing to go.
It's gone.
It's gone. just to reinforce, many times when pain moves, that can be an indication of an afflicting spirit. As I said, an afflicting spirit is demonic in nature, but it's not where you open the door to sin, where you willfully sinned, like through unforgiveness or adultery or anger, bitterness, etc., etc. But an afflicting spirit is like, you know, something jumps on you, like a tick walking through the woods, and you didn't do anything wrong, you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if that tick is allowed to bore in, it can be really a problem. And so an afflicting spirit kind of works that way, and we have authority over that. It's not about yelling and screaming. God bless you. It's not about yelling and screaming. It's just literally I break the power of that afflicting spirit, and I command it to go. And sometimes you have to pray several times and maybe chase it out, but that's what we did for you because you said it was moving. Many times if it gets worse when you pray or if it moves, that's an indication that it could be an afflicting spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And how are you doing?
I'm good. My leg totally healed.
Totally healed?
Pain's gone.
Pain's gone. Okay. Yeah, I think we call that healing. All right, I'm going to finish with this because I don't want anybody coming up to me at the end of the service. Well, you didn't call out my problem. All right, whatever your problem is, if you have not been totally healed or if we've not prayed, for example, we really haven't done anything about the hips down. If you have any kind of a condition, whether you have pain or not, if you're wearing glasses, you don't have pain, but maybe there's some healing that's needed. If your ears ring, there's no pain, but maybe you need some healing. If you have diabetes, there might not be pain, but you could probably use some healing. If there's anything you want prayer for, would you just stand up? Okay, if you would, just put your hand where it hurts. If you are standing for your eyesight, once again, I know this is silly. I'm going to encourage you to take off your glasses. And as a prophetic act, instead of me coming by and spitting in your eyes or putting mud in your eyes, I mean, that's what Jesus did. Lick your fingers, put them on your eyelids as a prophetic act. If it's your ears, I don't know. Lick your fingers, put them in your ears, give yourself a wet willy. I don't know. You just do whatever you feel you're supposed to do. Relax. Don't pray. Just receive. Holy Spirit, come. All over this room. The presence of the Lord. Sinus conditions, go. Eyesight, improve. Muscles, ligaments, and tendons in the foot and ankle. The knees, come into order. Where there's pain in the jaw. Where there's an area in the mouth that needs healing. Come, Holy Spirit. Diabetes, go. Ears, open and hear. Hair cells, stand back up. Pain in the lower part of the stomach, go in the name of Jesus. More, Lord. You said we could have more. More, Lord. More. Headaches, go. Shoulders, once again, improve, increase, 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 increase. Eyesight, where there's been floaters. Lord, we heard a testimony, floaters gone. We thank you for that. Now we say more, more, more. Arms and legs straightened where they are not able to bend properly or where they've bent too much and can't bend in the right directions more. More. We bless what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for what we've seen this morning, and we ask now for more, because you said we could have even more. You're not limited. You're not limited. I speak blessing on the neck, the shoulders, the knees, the lateral meniscus, the ACL, and the JBL, and all those L's. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord.